Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast, and we continue with this great mission from heaven, as established in our time by the Great Mother of God. We refer, of course, to the prophecies and revelations of Our Lady, given to the late seer, Veronica of the Cross. From the years 1970 through 1995, she would be the recipient of over 300 powerful and enlightening messages, which we are dedicated to making known through this radio broadcast. Too often has Our Lady been looked at as some flower-like figure in the heavens to grace our thoughts and sweeten our affections. And this is not entirely false. She is most gracious and most sweet. But she is all-powerful with the Creator. She is the powerful mediatrix of this universe, through whom the Almighty is showing forth His right arm at this late hour in history. Her mission in these last days is to come forth and crush the head of Lucifer, and she is calling upon faithful and true apostles to assist her in this noble mission. As part of her design, she calls us to her holy grounds at Bayside in New York, where these visitations took place for 25 years, though we'd like to emphasize that the powerful and miraculous intercession of Our Lady at these holy grounds continues to this very day. We might see the holy grounds as an oasis where we come to refresh ourselves and sort of jumpstart our lives again, because we are living in a spiritual desert today that is being scorched by the heat of Satan. And this infernal blast has even come into the church and blown out all the incense and holiness of our spiritual past. We might say that the heavenly dew is being zapped or evaporated from our midst, so that the faithful today are burning up with temptation. They are wandering about with parched tongues, not knowing where to turn for guidance, only because the clergy too are being swept away by this infernal current. They too are on fire with humanism and modernism and all the various isms of the devil that have come to us through the Second Vatican Council. Our Lady said that Satan entered our church through the Vatican II Council back in the early mid-60s, echoing the famous statement of Pope Paul VI in 1972 when he stated to the world, "From some fissure, the smoke of Satan entered into the temple of God." And this is what accounts for the change of ordinance that has come about in the past 40 years, where silent prayer has given way to talking, sacred chant has given way to strumming, and sacred worship has given way to a new festive liturgy that caters to all the whims and fancies of the people. And there we see the clergy sitting back enjoying the show, as the people stand up and assert their new roles as lay leaders, women ministers, liturgy planners, music ministers, etc., etc. It's like spiritual anarchy or mob rule, where the people have taken the law into their own hands, with the clergy fueling the revolution on. Our Lady says that this blight upon the church has been no accident, but has been a well-planned conspiracy to destroy her son's church on earth. She says our seminaries were not pure back in the 50s, but that many had entered for this very day to destroy the church. And she has warned the clergy about having any affiliation with the Masons, because they are the number one culprits in bringing about this hellish destruction of the Roman Catholic Church in these last days. As Our Lady said in the message, she says, "You cannot deny that the Masons practice witchcraft and sorcery. They are, by definition, a secret society that has now merged fully with the Church of Satan and the Illuminati, and for centuries they have been wholeheartedly dedicated to undermining the Roman Catholic Church." This is St. Michael's Broadcast, and we have a little something that we'd like to share with you today. We feel it's finally time to come forward with this. In March 1962, the Masonic Coalition in Rome issued a set of 34 guidelines aimed at destroying the Catholic Church. At the top of the document reads, quote, "Effective March 1962, the Aggiornamento of Vatican II, all warlocks shall report on the progress of these critical directives." The game plan was to infiltrate the Second Vatican Council and bring about a change of ordinance known as Novus Ordo Seclorum. The devil knew that if he could get his foot in the door, he could use the church as a forum to advance this new order and thereby pave the way toward this coming new world order. And this is what they live for, this coming new world order. 40 years of slow conditioning have just about brought this plan to fruition. A simple comparison of the pre- and post-Vatican II church will tell the whole story. We are going to quote now from this set of guidelines, making a few little comments along the way. And as we do, you might bear in mind the direction that your church has taken in the past 40 years. Now this is directive number one. Remove St. Michael, the protector of the Catholic Church, from every prayer, whether inside or outside of the Mass, once and for all. Remove all of his statues. Say that it detracts from Christ. Number two, put a stop to practice of penance during Lent, such as eating no meat on Fridays or fasting. Halt any acts of self-denial. Replaced by acts of joy, happiness, and love of neighbor. say that Christ already won heaven for us, and that the efforts of humans are to no avail. Number 3. Assign Protestant ministers to revise and desacralize the Mass. Instigate doubts that the Eucharist is closer to the Protestants' belief that it is only bread and symbolic. Number 4. Stop all Latin in Mass liturgy, devotions, and songs. It lends a feeling of mystery and respect. Show it up as mumbo-jumbo of soothsayers. People will then stop thinking that priests are of superior intelligence. Number 5. Encourage the ladies to remove their hats in church. Hair is sexy. And demand to be acolytes and priestesses. Base it on the Constitution. Start a women's liberation. Number 6. Stop communicants from kneeling to receive the host. Tell nuns to stop the children from folding their hands to and from communion. Tell them that God loves them as they are and wants them to be perfectly relaxed. Number 7. Stop sacred organ music. Bring in guitars, jews harps, drums, and stomping of the feet. This will prevent any personal prayer or conversation with Jesus. Don't give Jesus time to call children to religious vocations. Number 8. Profane hymns to the Mother of God and Saint Joseph. Call it idolatry. Replace with Protestant songs. This will imply that the Catholic Church is finally admitting that Protestantism is the true religion, or at least equal to the Catholic Church. Number 9. Replace all hymns, even to Jesus. This reminds people of their sweet childhood, which in turn will remind them of the peace that came from living a rigorous life of self-denial and penance for God. Bring in only new songs to convince the people that the former rites were somehow wrong. Be sure to have one song in each Mass that never mentions Jesus, but only love of humans. The young will be enthusiastic about love of neighbor. Number 10. Remove all saints' relics from altars, and then remove the altars themselves. Replace with pagan, unblessed tables, which will be used to offer life sacrifice at Satan Masses. Repeal the church law that says that Mass in churches can only be said on altars containing saints' relics. Number 11. Stop the practice of saying Mass before the Holy Eucharist in the tabernacle. Do not allow any tabernacles on the tables used for the Mass. Make the table look like a dinner table, make it portable, to imply that it is not sacred, but could do double duty for anything, such as a conference table or for playing cards. Later, put at least one chair at this table. Make the priest sit in this chair after communion to signify that he rests after his meal. Never let the priest kneel at Mass nor genuflect. People don't kneel at meals. We'll pause here just for a second. Our Lord in his message said, "You have made my Mass into a meal. You have brought into my house all manner of whims and fancies, giving in to your carnal natures." And our Lord in the message had also talked about the sacrificial seats of the Pharisees that they have now set up on his altar. He calls them Pharisees. Number 12. Remove saints from the church calendar a few weeks at a time. Forbid the priest the right to talk about the saints unless mentioned in the gospel. Say that there might be Protestants in the church who would not like it. Number 13. When introducing the gospels, drop the word saint in Gospel According to St. John or any other saint. Simply say Gospel According to John. This will imply that people should not honor them anymore. Keep rewriting the Bibles until identical to the Protestants. Number 14. Remove and destroy all personal prayer books. This will stop litanies to the Sacred Heart, the Blessed Mother, St. Joseph, and preparation for communion. It will also effectively reduce Thanksgiving after communion to a sham. Number 15. Remove all statues and pictures of angels. Why have statues of our enemies around? Call it a myth or a bedtime story. Number 16. Eliminate the minor order of exorcist for expelling devils. Work hard on this one. Sell the idea that there is not a real devil. Say it is the Bible's way of representing evil, and there can't be a good story without a villain. Then they will not believe in hell either, and will never be afraid of going there. Say that hell is nothing more than being away from God, and what's so bad about that? Boy, we can really bring this one home. Our Lady has told us repeatedly that we must return to the knowledge of the supernatural or we will fall. She says that Satan's greatest advantage is for us to not believe he is there, because then, like the invisible agent he is, he can work among us in secret and wreak havoc while our guard is down. Number 17. Teach that Jesus was only a human who had brothers and sisters, and he hated the establishment. Say that he loved the company of prostitutes, especially Mary Magdalene. say that he had no use for churches or synagogues. Number 18. Remember that you can cause the nuns to quit by appealing to their vanity, charm, and beauty. Make them change their habits, which will automatically make them throw away their rosaries. Show the world that there is dissension in the convents, and vocations will dry up. Number 19. Burn all catechisms. Tell religion teachers to teach love of God's people instead of love of God. Tell them it is mature to love openly. Make sex a common word in religion classes. Make sex a new religion. Number 20. Close all Catholic schools by reducing the number of nuns' vocations. Say that nuns are just underpaid social workers and the church is getting rich off of them. 21. Destroy the Pope by destroying his empire of universities. Separate universities from the Pope by saying that the government would be glad then to give them grants of money. Change the names of religious institutions to profane names, such as Immaculate Conception School to Compton Heights School. Call it ecumenical. Number 22. Attack the Pope's authority by setting an age limit on his services. Reduce this gradually. Say that you're keeping him from being overworked. And boy, did we ever see this during the reign of Pope John Paul II. They tried time and again to get him to resign with that argument. But thanks be to God he held his post. Number 23. Be bold. Weaken the Pope by setting up a bishop's synod. The Pope will then be a figurehead, as England is ruled by the House of Lords and the House of Commons. The King takes orders from them. Then weaken the bishop's authority by setting up a counterpart at the priest level. Say that the priests are finally getting the recognition they deserve. Then weaken the priest's authority by setting up lay groups to boss the priests. There will be so much hatred developed that even cardinals will leave the church. Say that the church is now democratic. Praise the new collegiality. I think we could stop here and reflect where it says weaken the priest's authority by setting up lay groups to boss the priests. It seems that this is all we see today, especially from the women's groups. It has truly become the people's church today, for the people and by the people. Number 24. Reduce priest vocations by losing the respect of the laity. One scandal of a priest will lose thousands in vocations. Praise fallen away priests who give up everything for the love of a woman. Call them heroic. Honor laicized priests as true martyrs who were being so oppressed that they couldn't take it any longer. And of course, this is the argument that we hear with the sex abuse scandal. They say they don't let the priests marry and they just couldn't take it anymore. Number 25. Start closing churches because of lack of priests. Call it economizing and good business practice. Say that God listens to prayers anywhere, so churches are extravagant. Number 26. Use lay commissions and weak faith priests to quickly condemn and disapprove of any new apparitions of the Blessed Mother or any alleged miracles, especially of St. Michael the Archangel. Be absolutely certain that none whatsoever get approval after Vatican II. Then call it disobedience to authority if anybody follows the messages or repeats them or even thinks about them. Number 27. Pass a law to disband the Curia each time a new pope comes in. This is certain to ensure that the Curia will contain many radicals and modernists. Number 28. Elect an anti-pope. Say that he will bring the Protestants back into the church and maybe even the Jews. Anti-pope can be elected by giving the vote to the bishops. There will be so many popes nominated that an anti-pope will get in as a compromise pope. 29. Eliminate confession before First Holy Communion for second and third grade children so that they will not bother about confession before communion when they get into the higher grades either. Confession will then disappear. Number 30. Get women and laity to give communion. Say that this is the age of the laity. Start giving communion in the hand, like the Protestants, instead of on the tongue. Say that Christ did it this way. Collect some for Satan masses. Then replace individual communion by a bowl of wafers to be taken on leaving the church. Say that they will then carry God's gift into their daily lives. Install communion vending machines. Call them tabernacles. Number 31. After anti-pope reigns, disband synod of bishops, priest unions, lay advisor groups, etc. Forbid any religious to engage in politics without permission. Say that God loves humility and hates glory seekers. You see, once the antipope gets in, he doesn't want any more rebellion from his subjects. He wants perfect obedience, which will also qualify the reasoning for the next two directives. Number 32, give supreme power to the pope to select his successors. order the mark of the beast on all true lovers of God under the pain of excommunication. 33. Declare all former church dogmas false, except the dogma of infallibility. State that Jesus Christ was a revolutionary that didn't make it. Say that the true Christ will soon come. And number 34. Order all subjects of anti-pope to fight in the Holy Crusades to spread the one-world religion. Satan knows where all lost gold is. Ruthlessly conquer the world. This will give to humanity what they've always yearned for, the golden age of peace. You're listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we've been reading from a set of 34 directives issued by the Office of Antichrist. This is a Masonic coalition that had issued these directives specifically for the purpose of hijacking the Second Vatican Council. Therewith. The foregoing has no fax or address connected with it, since it is a dastardly work of a secret society. We simply have to take it at face value and let it stand on its own demerits. The text speaks for itself and bespeaks of the radical changes of the past 40 years, though it is in no wise comprehensive. For instance, there is no mention of their plan to infect the church with homosexuals and bring about the present pedophilia, or their plan to seduce the faithful with spiritism, like the charismatics, that has the faithful today running after strange gods and spirits. But it certainly represents the gist of their plan and provides a clear perspective of what the enemy has been up to in the church. Some of the directives have not yet materialized, grant you that. For instance, the communion vending machines. But it's safe to say that 90% of this plan has come to pass with alarming accuracy, especially with all the boasting about their so-called empowerment in the spirit and all this mass egoism, where the people even proclaim now in some churches that we are the Eucharist. They actually do this. But this certainly has to be linked to item number 11 that said, stop the practice of saying the Mass before the Holy Eucharist in the tabernacle. And this really was the focal point of the Vatican II reform, to turn the priest around so that he now says the Mass facing the people with his back to the tabernacle. The objective was to bring about a shift of focus where the emphasis is now placed on the community rather than God. And with this comes your humanist programs such as the RCIA, or Rite of Christian Initiation. This is a new procedure today for baptism. Now, this whole language of initiation is the language of the Masons. You see, they want to teach us that baptism is an initiation into a community, you know, like a join the club or a fraternity, which of course is heresy. Baptism, just for the record, washes us clean from the guilt of original sin and brings us into union with the Creator, not with the community. So this and other like programs have now taken over the Church's religious instruction and have replaced the old catechisms, which have now been trashed according to the ruling of these Masonic guidelines. As is stated right in item number 19, burn all catechisms. Teach only love of God's people, not love of God. Introduce sex education, etc., etc. Of course, you know the love that they're talking about. It's not true love. And indeed, this is what we've been seeing since Vatican II. It is interesting to note item number 5, where it says, start a women's liberation. Have the ladies take off their hats in church. Because we have to remember that back in 1962, the so-called women's liberation movement hadn't yet hit the social scene. Such a concept was unheard of. Yet the enemy already knew that the Pride of Eve would be the perfect vessel for the old serpent to ride his way into our church. The feminists of today have paved the way for this Antichrist and have given him great strength against the Mass and the church establishment. As it says in Daniel 8:12 concerning this Antichrist of the last days, I quote, and strength was given him against the continual sacrifice, because of sins. Again in Isaiah 3:12, the prophet speaks of our time where he says, as for my people, their oppressors have stripped them, and women have ruled over them. But the single greatest blow to our church came in 1964, when they removed the prayer to St. Michael from the Sunday Mass worship. This was the first major reform of Vatican II that was put into effect even before the Council had ended. And how interesting to note that this is item number 1 of these Antichrist guidelines which we quoted above. As it says, I'll quote again, remove St. Michael, the protector of the Catholic Church, from every prayer, whether inside or outside the Mass, once and for all. You see, St. Michael is a protector of the Church. He guards the fort. So their number 1 objective is to get rid of him first. And that's exactly what they did. When they took away the prayer to St. Michael, this opened the door to infiltration and gave the devil easy access to enter the church, as expressed by Pope Paul in his famous 1972 quote when he said, from some fissure, the smoke of Satan entered into the temple of God. So if we have any mind to restore the Catholic Church back to its former status of honor, we have to first return the prayer to St. Michael to the Sunday Mass worship. And with this, we have to adopt the mentality of St. Michael in defending the house of God and not letting the enemy come through and rape the church any longer. Because this is exactly what has happened since Vatican II. The very forces of hell have come through and raped the spouse of Christ. And if we as Catholics stand by and condone this, we cannot expect to be saved. As Jesus said in the Gospel, you are either with me or you are against me. And if we stand by and we watch the enemy destroy his church and don't say anything because we don't want the enemy to oppose us, then we cannot expect to be Christ's friends. We cannot expect for him to accept us on his side. On May 23, 1979, the Blessed Mother said, quote, all who seek reform and change will not receive a sanctification from heaven. Reform, and you will die on the vine. And of course, she is alluding to the reform of Vatican II. Now, just one more point before it gets away from us. You heard the mention of the Satan Masses in the readings above. This is a reference to the Satanic Black Mass, where the Satanists take the consecrated communion host and they crush it under their shoes as a mockery to Christ. And for this reason, they earnestly seek the hosts from the masses. And this is why the Satanists have been primarily responsible for starting communion in the hand in our Catholic Church. What they've actually done is revive the old Arian practice, which later became the Protestant practice of receiving communion in the hand, because this gives them access to come into our church and take the host. They can steal off with it. They're magicians. They can put it up their sleeve like a rabbit. And this is one of the reasons that Our Lady has earnestly cried out to us to stop the practice of communion in the hand. This is causing the Satanists to grow. In fact, the Satanists amongst themselves declare that communion in the hand is the greatest thing that ever happened to them. So in appealing with your priests, your bishops, and even the Pope to stop this practice of communion in the hand, this should be one of the arguments that you use. And challenge them. Say, look, if you know that the practice of communion in the hand could possibly result in one communion host being mocked at the Satanic Black Mass, that in itself would be enough justification for stopping this practice throughout the entire Universal Church. And if they don't stop this practice after hearing this argument, they're basically saying, we don't care. And this is really what it boils down to. They're saying, I don't care. 40 years of reform has basically put the church to sleep and has made us very insensitive to what is going on inside the Catholic Church today. And so it has brought about a spirit of apathy. But as members of the church militant, we cannot be apathetic. We cannot take an I don't care attitude. We have to remember that we are members of the church. This is the age of the laity, after all, right? So we should take an active participation in trying to restore the church back to honor and holiness. This is what our Lord and our Lady are asking of all of us. They're asking that the laity go forward and save the church. And the best way to do it is to bring the message from heaven to the clergy. Don't worry about what they think. Just give them the message. It's the greatest act of charity that you can do for them. And if they mock you for it, those are just added graces for your own salvation and for their salvation too. As Our Lady said in the message, every rebuke shall be a rose. This is St. Michael's Broadcast, which is the one radio program designed to bring to you this urgent message of Jesus and Mary in these last days, as given through the celebrated seer, Veronica of the Cross. We would invite you to write for the free information. You can send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Our toll-free line is 1-800-345-MARY. There is no cost to receive the printed information, but again, we do remind you that your financial gift offerings are necessary to keep this program on the air. So if you'd like to see this message continue each week over the station, then send along your gift offerings today made payable to St. Michael's World Apostolate. And again, we do remind you that your donation is tax deductible. We also invite you to visit us at www.smwa.org. We are going to listen now to a recorded segment of the Seer Veronica receiving the message from Jesus at the vigil of May 28, 1983. Just to orient you once again, Veronica at the vigils would be in a state of ecstasy in which she would see Jesus Christ and the Blessed Virgin Mary. At their direction, she would repeat out loud the message they would give her while her voice was being recorded. Now, what you're going to hear is Veronica's voice, but it is Jesus speaking through her.
My child and my children, my mother has given you a synopsis of all that is taking place upon your earth. the voices of the young and dying, and the voices of the saints in heaven are gathering to cry in supplication to the Eternal Father to forewarn the earth and the earth's peoples, their sisters and brothers in the eyes of God, to forewarn them that they now are on the edge of a terrible, catastrophic occurrence, which will lead, without your prayers and acts of atonement for your sins, it will lead you straight into the devastating knowledge that you, the United States of America and Canada, will be invaded. You ask, my child, in shock, what can be done? I repeat again, my child, that wars are always a punishment for man's sins. When they reach the point of having to be judged as reprobate, then it is too late for that grouping. My child and my children, already those who are involved in conflict, and many souls coming out of this conflict cast into hell and purgatory, it is then time for us to say, the hour approaches and you will be too late. I do not wish to drain your meager energies, my child, but it is necessary at this time to warn my sheep that they are on now the pinnacle of self-destruction. I will not this evening continue or converse on the sins that offend the Eternal Father and the Spirit of Life, the sins of a nation that cry out to heaven for punishment.
You're listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we've been listening to the Seer Veronica receiving the message from Jesus at the Vigil of May 28, 1983. Again, you can write for the free information. Send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That website again, www.smwa.org. And may Our Lady bless you in the days ahead.